This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents. Welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for Tuesday, the 5th of April, 2022. I'm Carl, and today I have the pleasure of being joined by Reclaim Party leader Lawrence Fox. Lawrence, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm brilliant now that you're here. I've been wanting to get you on the podcast for ages.
I'm sorry. I'm
you're just a busy man, aren't you?
Far too busy, yes.
Yeah, that's okay. And you're doing necessary things that we'll talk about later on, in fact. But right, so just a couple of things. Obviously, because we've got a guest, we're not going to do video comments today, so we'll just have a bit of a chat after the podcast about what you're doing, what you're up to, and then read your comments. So leave comments on the page, and we'll rule them out later. And so let's get into it. Today, we're going to be talking about the consequences of COVID lockdown on kids, Elon Musk buying up Twitter, and Britain being able to legally exclude trans people. So the consequences of COVID lockdowns have been terrible for children. I think we can all agree that.
Absolutely.
I mean, were you? I take it you weren't in favour of lockdowns.
I ignored it from day one. I'm not being told whether I can or cannot live in my house. I partied harder than the government did, I think. And but I noticed it was terribly. It was damaging for my kids as well. And then you're reading all of the stuff that's coming out now about these 20-point IQ drops and 2-year-olds who can't read facial expressions. Yeah. I think it was a brutally criminal, appalling thing to do to a country. And and we're going to be, it's not just children, it's
an entire generation that's going to suffer for this. But anyway, before we get into it, going to do a bit of shilling for the website. Go over to lotuseaters.com if you'd like to support us and sign up, £5 a month, and you can get access to our vast library of premium content, such as Mao's Cultural Revolution Book Club that will be live by the time people on YouTube are watching this, and will be live at 3:30 p.m. this afternoon. It's how we fund the show, so if you'd like to support us and keep us going and get access to all of the interesting things we do, go and check that out. But anyway, right. So this begins really with, I think, an interesting point is Elon Musk, who we're going to be talking about a lot in this podcast. He tweeted this out, and I found this interesting. Humanity did not evolve to mourn the unborn, but we should. I'm talking about not having kids in the first place. That's the problem. And underneath that, he tweets out a link to a Scientific American article, which you may have recall that people were expecting a baby boom during the lockdowns, and people are just trapped at home all day. What are they going to do? They're going to have sex because they've got nothing else they're allowed to do. And that didn't happen. As Scientific American tells us, in fact, that a professor of social and political science at an Italian university looked at the birth rates in 22 high-income countries, including the US, and found that only that 7 of those countries had statistically significant declines in birth rates in the final months of 2020 and first months of 2021 compared to previous years. And it's not like the birth rates in the West have been good anyway. They're on a dramatic decline. And the US saw a decline of 3.8%, which wasn't statistically significant, but there we go. But this was interesting because everyone was expecting, well, there's going to be a bit of a baby boom, and it didn't happen. So people in lockdown were not feeling the need to sow their oats, as it were, which is interesting how the intuitive prediction that they're going to make just turned out to be wrong.
Right? The interesting thing is, you know, these old truisms like I want to create a better life for my children, all of those sorts of things, the hope and optimism that we used to have as procreators, is being stripped away from us. So, you know, it is exactly this. It's my kids are taught this at school. I was taught this at school as well. This sort of you're a virus on this planet. Your mere existence is destroying it. And therefore, the solution is to wipe out mankind slowly by not breeding.
Yes,
It's what China went through as well, wasn't it? You know, and we're now copying them.
Yeah, it's a really anti-human perspective that the big brains of our society have come to the conclusion of, which is kind of silly. But this is actually one of the things they point out. They say you might not necessarily forgo childbearing totally, but may postpone it until the times are a little better. It's like, okay, but when are times going to get better?
They're not, because we're destroying GDP across the West.
We're destroying our civilizations from the inside out.
Mm.
Like, who can say that there's any light at the end of the tunnel that we're on at the moment?
Well, mostly, weirdly, I think it's people with faith, oddly. Yeah. I think it's people with faith, because they have this very odd concept called hope. And, you know, we need to focus on hope, because without it, we're savages.
But I mean, we literally, I'm an atheist. So for those of us who don't have faith, I'm looking at the current course of our civilization and being like, right, this is heading straight into the ground. Mm. It's going to crash, and there are going to be very few survivors at the end of this. So something needs to change. But the best example of this, in fact, is just what has been done to children. Now, the thing I really found most infuriating about the lockdowns is that nobody asked a single old person, would you like to sacrifice your grandchildren's future for a few extra years of life? Because I can't imagine a single one of them would have said, of course I would.
Yeah, well, of course. I think lockdown was, you know, as I'm sure you do, much more sinister than that.
It's a moral abomination.
It's the I think the point of lockdown, of this whole thing, if one wants to go down the rabbit hole slightly, is just to turn children into compliant little comrades.
Yes.
So that as they grow up and develop and they're not educated in it, you know, you look at the way young people communicate with each other, with exceptions, of course, but... Sure. It's very, very, it's really worrying how binary they're taught. Everything is very binary except themselves, which is non-binary.
Mm.
It's deliberate confusing of children.
And what I really despise about it is teaching generations of people that actually know the government is totally free to just lock you in your houses if it feels like it.
It's
and all of the adults went along with it. It's like, and so, like you said, I just ignored the lockdowns.
Mm.
You know, I did what I wanted. Screw the government.
Yeah.
And so at least my children and your children had a good example in us. But the rest of civilization, the rest of our entire society is like, no. If the government just says, do this, you have to do this. It's like, no, I don't think I do. But anyway, let's have a look at the effect on kids, right? Because this is really terrible. So Amanda Spielman, the chief inspector of Ofsted, has come out and said, well, look, nurseries are flagging babies with limited vocabularies and who are struggling to understand facial expressions. Because from literally for 2-year-olds don't know how to read a human face.
Not good.
Because of masks.
Oh, those terrible, disgusting masks. It is evil. But, and also, again, it's the most dreadful thing about it is it's mostly the poorer in society, the poorest kids, who will have had the hardest time under this, who couldn't, you know, didn't have access to education.
Can you even imagine living in a 2-bedroom house with 3 kids and being told you're not allowed out?
And then trying to homeschool 3 kids around a kitchen table.
It's just such an impossible...
It's barbaric.
It is barbaric.
And we've suddenly, in this the thing that's really sort of, spooked me, is A, how compliant people were.
Yeah.
Because I really genuinely believed in this sort of Blitz spirit of the Brits. I really had this notion all the way through my life.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, the Brits were different.
We're not going to take this.
We're not going to take this. And then I've gone, oh, hang on a minute, the appeasers.
Yeah.
There was a lot of appeasement before some brave people stood up against it. So terrifying.
Yeah. And Boris, if he'd wanted to ape Winston Churchill, his hero, he would have said, no, we're not going to do that. That's terrible. Mm. You know, everyone else can do it, but we're not going to do that. He could have done the right thing, but he didn't. But anyway, so Ofsted report was based on 70 early years providers in England in January and February. And they came across with just, it was just terrible, right? We are seeing difficulties with social interaction and social confidence. Children just behind where you would normally expect them to be. Also in physical development, crawling, walking, and this may also be related to greater instances of childhood obesity. Children turning 2 years old will have been surrounded by adults wearing masks for their whole lives and will therefore be unable to see lip movements or mouth shapes regularly. And it's interesting that you didn't even know that this was deeply important for children's development until you deprive them of it.
Yeah.
You didn't even know.
But what I find so strange about... I tweeted that exact line this morning because they haven't managed to throw me off yet. Maybe they won't, thanks to Elon's 9.2. But what I found, and I very rarely go through the replies because it's just endless trolling.
Yeah.
But sometimes they'll throw you up a reply and you sort of, without asking for it. And it was someone going, well, it's all right. You know, they weren't wearing masks at home, maybe. And I'm like, what's your problem?
Yeah.
These things provably useless, yeah. Even to, you know, anyone with half a brain, it would go, practically, this isn't going to work. Viruses are little. They're going to get through these things. And there's huge holes everywhere. Provably useless. But they were just
the Fauci position, by the way.
Yeah, they were just, yeah, exactly. They were just...
he said in the beginning, this isn't going to stop the virus. But anyway, sorry, go on.
As I said earlier, I think it was just about turning children and adults into compliant comrades.
And even
sheep.
If that wasn't the intent, this has been the consequence. I mean, as they say here, all they've seen is their parents in a house, not interacting in local parks, seeing their friends, going to parties. So it's taken a long time for these children, especially babies and toddlers, to get settled in nurseries. And this is just absolutely terrible, right? And so let's go on to what the Mental Health Foundation in Scotland found, which is that the impact of the mental health of and well-being of children and young people has obviously been catastrophic. So we've made them asocial, incapable of really reading one another's facial expressions, and depressed.
Yeah.
And miserable.
And all paid for by us.
All paid for by us. So by the government in service of grandparents who would never have chosen this.
No.
If they were given the option.
No, it was, but also what happened to grandparents, you know, people in care homes and various, every single strata of society was destroyed by this.
Yeah.
And what the bit that gets on my goat is the fact that we paid for it. We yeah. pay in taxes to the government. The government spent 400, 500 million yeah. pounds advertising in their propaganda on the mainstream media. Yeah. And so one of the best things to come out of this is that people now no longer trust the media. Those of us who are skeptical, and, you know, one needs to have skeptics in society, and waking up will not believe a single thing they read in the papers ever again.
Yeah. Anything that's opinion or value-based is definitely false.
Well, it's also just the front page of any newspaper. If you look at it and you go, right, that's what you want me to
but
think.
But isn't that interesting how we paid the government to abrogate our rights? I lost both of my remaining grandmothers during the lockdown.
Mm.
You could see them deteriorate.
Yeah.
They just...
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I lost my mother during lockdown. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear it. Yeah. Like, you know, you. But anyway, right? Mm. So as Mental Health for Scotland discovered, overall studies point to increased levels of distress, worry and anxiety, and increased feelings of loneliness and worries about school and the future. Again, no one asked old people if they wanted to inflict this on their grandchildren, right? And so this gets bad for every group in society, but of course, the people who are most vulnerable are most affected, which being the poor, working class and minority communities, and people who are affected by violence, of course, because if you're in an abusive family situation, not being allowed to leave the house is pretty bad for you.
There was some terrifying stats on domestic violence. Well, I don't have them to hand, but they were.
Yeah, I've seen them as well, and it's tragic.
Yeah,
but and suicides as well.
But the thing is, this is the lockdown is the mold on the tree, at the very beginning of the mold, and we haven't even seen what effect it's going to have once it gets out to the branches.
Yeah.
So the damage that's been done, we haven't seen 1% of what's gonna the effect societal effect it'll have. Appalling.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is exactly the point they're making. Evidence suggests that engagement with the curriculum has been disrupted for many children and young people. So and as you said, there was a study that showed it was 20-point IQ point drop. Mm. So that's disgusting, to rob someone of 20 points of intelligence when they're a baby and go, right, okay, well, you're on your own in life now. That's not recoverable. No. Like, brain dysfunction and lack of development in early childhood is never recoverable. There are examples, there are cases where children are raised without human contact and they never learn to read, write, or talk properly because the part of the brain that does handle all of that develops in the earliest years, and if that's prevented, it never develops and they never get those abilities. And this is literally, we have created a generation of people who are going to massively underachieve their entire lives, and there's nothing they can do about it.
And adults as well. The crimes against children are beyond, and as you said, if Boris had had any guts whatsoever, he would have shown them. The concerning thing was that it was how coordinated it all felt.
Yeah.
I mean, there are two schools of argument, aren't there? You know, is it just a bunch of never ascribed to malice what you can put down to stupidity or whatever? But
at this point,
I find it very, very difficult not to ascribe this to some sort of deep, desire to fundamentally change society.
Well, you've got the other military maxim, once is chance, twice is coincidence, and three times is enemy action. You know, and we're at this point, I'm like, right, okay, these things, these incompetent decisions happen so regularly that I'm assuming it's malice now.
Yeah.
This point. You know, it's enemy action. But this is the thing, like, and I honestly think that morally, right, it would have been better for every single adult to have died from COVID who got COVID and was going to die from the COVID, that rather than try and prevent that through lockdowns, which affect the entire generation of children. And I can't imagine an adult coming and saying to me, no, I don't think that's a worthwhile sacrifice. I think that my life should be preserved at the expense of the damage this is going to do to an entire generation of children. Defy me. I defy anyone to show me the adult that would make that claim.
Well, it's women and children first. It was always the way.
And it's always children first, then adults, you know, then men. But it,
Well, how could parents, such a discombobulation of what it is to be a parent as well.
It's a total inversion of values, isn't
Because you just go, this is the most important thing as a parent, but you will meet someone who would argue the other point and is still arguing the other point.
And in that you see a selfish, selfish person.
Then they accuse you of being selfish. Yeah. I was on the front page of all the papers because I used to advertise the fact that I was partying relentlessly throughout it. And they go, is this the most selfish man in Britain?
No.
And it's like, no, you're all selfish. But you don't take a jab for the good of mankind. You take a jab because you think it's going to help you. Yeah. That's the definition of selfishness. I don't object to your selfishness.
No, it's not wrong either. Get vaccinated if you're bothered about it.
Do what you feel is best for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Just stay out of my life. And
stop inflicting punishments on my children because you're afraid.
Yes.
Because that's what this is. Your lack of spine has led you to want to penalise children.
We lionise cowardice, though, now. We lionise victimhood and cowardice in this country.
Let's talk about lionising cowardice, actually. Let's talk about Chris Whitty.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Whitty has come out and been like, oh, yeah, those lockdowns, they're likely to have substantial long-term damage to children. Oh, really, Chris? Oh, really? That's very interesting, right? This is what he says. He told a conference that many aspects of public health had gone backwards over the last 2 years, including significant worsening in childhood obesity. He said that the evidence suggested there had already been an impact on mental health of children, the rise of eating disorders, and there may be much longer-term consequences yet to be seen. Yeah, that's right. And anyone with an ounce of prudence would have been like, yeah, I don't think we should actually make everyone mask up and lock down the entire country because it might have a negative effect on children.
And on the health service that we were meant to be protecting.
You know what? Screw the health service. I don't even care. You know, like, but the point being, like, it instinctively, you know, this is obviously going to be bad for kids. You just don't. Yeah. You don't need evidence. You can be like, no, I intuit that that's not a good thing to do to my children.
Mm.
You know, and or to your children, to any other's children. And yet they're like, yeah, well, we don't have the evidence. So I don't need the evidence. You know, this is me abductively reasoning that this is going to be the case.
Could it be though one of the symptoms of one of the non-intentional symptoms, unintentional symptoms of this suicide of the formerly liberal West that we're so spoiled that we think and scared and we've never suffered really many generations that we think, well, come on, locking up a child for 2 years if it means that I can go back to St Moritz on a skiing holiday.
Yeah.
It's sort of the arrogance of what the West has become. And it's the, hard times make strong men. It's that line again. And we are at the weak men stage, aren't we?
It's hard to believe that our grandparents, like of our generation, our grandparents would have agreed to this.
No.
It's genuinely hard to imagine.
Well, they might have done if it had been, but I mean, they didn't during the, well, I don't know, I don't have enough knowledge of what happened during the Spanish flu, but it was going on throughout World War I, wasn't it?
Yeah, it just ripped through the world, basically. Yeah. And Spanish flu was way more deadly than COVID.
And it attacked younger people with more powerful immune systems, didn't it? Rather than, so this was very obviously got an IFR rate for older people. I mean, that was the thing, scale. And they knew the scale.
Yeah.
Chris Whitty knew the scale.
He knew that 85% of like over 80s or something survived COVID.
Mm.
There was no... Anyway, so carrying on. Chris Whitty also pointed out that elderly people had also suffered as a result of long periods of isolation. It's like, yeah. So who is the architect of these lockdowns, Chris? Oh, that's right, it was you. You did this, right? He advocated lockdowns back in 2020. If you can go to the next one, John. You can see this back when there were 55 people dead, apparently, having tested within 28 days for COVID. March is like, yeah, okay, we're going into lockdown. Chief Medical Officer for England, Professor Chris Whitty, said measures to tackle the spread of the disease would need to be in place for, quote, a prolonged period. He added, we should not be under any illusions that if we just do this for a couple of weeks, it's sufficient. You did this. You did this. You inflicted this on the young and the old, Chris. You dysgenic loser.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You are responsible for this, right? And the thing is, as well, it's not like lockdowns prevented the COVID deaths, is it, Chris? And you know this, right? We can go to the next one. The evidence has come out that just shows this fairly recently, actually. This came out. That in the past weeks, a series of reports probing the science that has underpinned key pandemic decisions. The Mail on Sunday has investigated the accuracy of PCR tests and the chaotic way they were recorded. And they've found that basically it looks like the cure has been worse than the disease. Professor Mark Woolhouse, an epidemiologist at the University of Edinburgh, published a book called The Year the World Went Mad about the UK UK's pandemic policy failures. He says, I think that lockdown will be viewed by history as a monumental mistake on a global scale for a number of reasons. The obvious one is the immense harm of the lockdown, more than any other measure, did in terms of the economy, mental health, and on the well-being of society. But many analyses suggest that the lockdown itself didn't have a huge impact on reducing the health burden. That was achieved in other ways.
Well, not only did lockdowns not save any lives, but lockdowns are going to cost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of lives.
Yes.
And the NHS we were meant to protect now has a waiting list of how long?
Yep.
It's
cancer diagnoses, all that sort of stuff.
Every ideologically driven policy, every single one that's ever been enacted by any regime on earth, because I don't think we really have a government, I think we have a uniparty regime, ends in death and misery. Yep. And this has been proven. The cancer deaths, I think they're saying there's 50,000 at least undiagnosed cancers that could have been saved. Think about all of the other diseases that could have been saved. It was ideologically driven.
Yeah.
And the minute someone makes a move like that, which is lockdown, my instinctive thing is no, bad idea.
Yeah. And this is the problem with central planning as a key concept. The more power you accrue to the people in charge, the more damage their mistakes cause. And so this is exactly why you should go check out Mao's Cultural Revolution, in fact, because this was exactly the problem in China and the Soviet Union and all of the other communist regimes. That terrible famines and massacres and all of these other problems. The people in charge are just not as smart as they would need to be able to have this kind of extreme managerial control over all of society. So any mistakes they've made and things they haven't accounted for end up showing dramatically in terrible, terrible ways.
Yeah.
So I completely agree. And again, you can tell this on an instinctive level, as I'm exactly the same. As soon as I say, right, I've got this big idea that's going to require everyone to do something, I'm just like, no, I'm out. I'm just out, you know.
You need a fraction of society which is skeptical.
Absolutely.
And you need a fraction of society that just says no for saying no as it is. You know, this over the vaccine and stuff, the minute they started making these binary things, you know, you didn't want to take the vaccine because you thought, I'm healthy enough. I'd rather develop some natural immunity, as has happened throughout life.
Yeah.
You were called an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah. But then that's another thing as well.
The language has been destroyed by these people.
It was so quickly weaponized, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to get this experimental vaccine that's only been out for less than a year? You're an anti-vaxxer. It's like, dude, vaccines take a decade to develop.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not against the concept of vaccination. I'm against the concept of mass testing on the public.
Yeah.
Like, we still don't know what the long-term effects of these vaccines are going to be, and it's not like we haven't got enough evidence that there's at least room for concern.
Yeah.
You know, it's mad. But anyway, I think we better move on to the next segment before I go on forever about this.
read the real Anthony Fauci.
In fact, Harry's done a book club on that, I think, or is doing one. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, so, good news, everyone. The world's richest man is surprisingly based. And he's decided that he's going to buy up Twitter bit by bit. And I tell you what, I'm absolutely here for it. But before we go on, just in case you'd like to support us, there are ways of doing so. You can go to loadcs.com and check out The Politics of American Psychos. This is for premium members. Sign up for £5 a month. Get access to... This is amazing, right? You are not going to believe Harry's incredible impression of American Psycho. I never realized he had this talent. But also, Harry and Thomas do an amazing breakdown of the postmodern nature of the tale. It's really fascinating. Definitely check it out. Anyway, so did you know that Elon Musk had bought up a significant percentage of Twitter?
9.2%, didn't he?
Yeah.
He did it a couple of weeks ago, but it wasn't only announced recently. I'm like, why didn't I buy it? He made £1 billion in a day.
Well, hang on, don't spoil it.
Oh, sorry.
Christ. Right, so a couple of weeks ago, Elon was tweeting out some very interesting things. Like, let's see, should the Twitter algorithm be open source? 82% of his followers are like, yeah, it should. Very interesting. And what was really interesting is that former Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey retweeted this and agreed with him. He said the choice of which algorithm to use or not should be open to everyone. I mean, I was never very impressed with Jack Dorsey's tenure over Twitter. It's interesting how he's becoming a dissident after he's left that position.
Well, I think possibly no way he could have understood how, you know, it, like the Henry Ford going, oh, I've got an event, this thing.
We will get to that. No, you're presaging a lot of interesting stuff there. We'll get to exactly that, right? So anyway, we'll go back to Elon Musk. And he then subsequently tweeted out, well, free speech is essential to a functioning democracy. And that's a proposition, which I think is true. And so he asks, do you believe Twitter rigorously adheres to this principle? 29% of people who follow him said yes. Who are they?
Is that trolls?
Yeah, verified check marks. We've got the verified check mark brain disease. But of course, 70% of people like it. No. And the thing is, interestingly, if you scroll down a little bit on this one, John, under it, he's like, the consequences of this poll will be important. Please vote carefully.
Please buy Twitter shares. Damn it.
Exactly. That's very interesting, isn't it? And so Elon is pondering the Twitter effect, right? And if you go to the next one, he's like, well, given as Twitter serves as the de facto public town square, failing to adhere to free speech principles fundamentally undermines democracy. What should be done? And underneath this, he questions, is a new platform needed? And the thing is, this is something that's been tried. Now, you can go follow us on Getter, you can follow us on Gab and Minds and all of these other platforms. And God bless these people for trying. But the problem is that Twitter occupies a kind of cultural space that is a bit hegemonic when it comes to political discussion. And so Elon didn't create his own new platform. He decided to buy a bunch of Twitter shares. This nearly $3 billion, $2.9 billion worth of shares in Twitter, which, I mean, it must be nice to be the world's richest man.
Yeah.
It's been like, yeah, you know what? I will spend $3 billion screwing over my political opponents today.
I'd just love to be the, you know, to be, what's his name, the guy that, that now runs it, who doesn't believe in free speech?
Parag Agrawal.
I'd love to be in Parag's office as the, as your major shareholder walks through the door.
Yes.
Parag, do you believe in free speech? No.
I mean, he's expressly said he's not.
Yeah, he does. He has a real problem. It's. Yeah. I think it's great. They'll try and get rid of him, won't they?
Oh, but sure. But what can they do?
Well, as someone actually, the thing about, you're right, Twitter is funny because that's where your enemies are. Mm. And I like engaging my enemies. Same. Because I think, what's the point in echo chamber? Everyone goes, Twitter's an echo chamber. Like, trust me, it is for certain viewpoints.
It's a battleground that's heavily weighted in the favor of one side.
Yeah. Well, there's that tweet that remains up. There's a video that remains up threatening to have J.K. Rowling murdered, isn't there? And it remains up. It doesn't violate Twitter's rules. It's a direct death threat to J.K. Rowling.
Surely that breaks the law in whatever country it was posted from.
Well, that's the thing. I think we should have digital borders and things like that. But it's good news that Elon is that he's a heterodox thinker.
Yeah.
He's you need that sort of man.
And I generally have quite a fondness for Elon because he posts a lot of memes that I think are actually really
funny. They're funny.
Yeah, they're really good. He's got a great sense of humor. And he is doing, in my opinion, the right thing. That's most important, I think. He is doing the genuinely right thing. So he bought a 9.2% stake in Twitter, making him the largest single shareholder. Jack Dorsey only has 2.2% stake in Twitter. So
Vanguard and BlackRock have the others.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah.
And this is interesting because, of course, it means that Twitter suddenly becomes valuable on the stock market again. Because I'm sure that we'll see a graph at some point, but the Twitter shares have just been dying hideously.
Well, they made a 400-something million loss last year.
Yes, consistently year after year they make losses.
Yeah.
And him putting this money into it has, of course, increased the share price of Twitter by 26% overnight, which actually means that Elon's made, something like $750 million.
Buy Channel 4.
Yeah, well, God, Elon, just start buying up.
Come on, Elon.
You know, just stop buying up all the stuff and ruining it, basically, for the left. That's what I want.
That's all we want.
Yeah. So he's made Twitter a profitable company by just looking at it.
Good.
Which is very interesting. But what's interesting is he's become the biggest shareholder, and this has Time magazine say, this is an interesting take, the announcement will be yet another major test for new Twitter CEO Parag Agrawal, who replaced Dorsey after he unexpectedly resigned in November. Agrawal vowed to increase accountability, make decisions faster, and improve product execution. And, okay, that's very nice and corporate, but that's not the problem with Twitter.
No.
At all. But it's interesting. It's a major new test. Major new test. What's he going to do? He can't unsell those shares.
No.
Like, he can't stop Elon Musk from doing anything. But anyway, so Elon Musk has bought a passive stake. Now, I'm not a share man. I'm a stock trader. I don't know anything about it. So I went to Investopedia, right? And so they say, passive investing is a method that seeks to avoid fees and limited performance that may occur with frequent trading. Passive investing's goal is to build wealth gradually. We can go to the next one, John. Build wealth gradually. Also known as a buy and hold strategy, passive investing means buying security to own it long term. Unlike active traders, passive investors do not seek to profit from short-term price fluctuations or market timing. The underlying assumption of passive investment strategy is that the market posts positive returns over time. So the main, if you scroll down, you can see that one, they point out the flaws with this. And basically, if you're looking to make money trading stocks, you don't do this.
No.
Because the returns are not good. And as they say, it's got a poor track record. The data shows that very few actively managed portfolios beat their passive benchmarks, especially after taxes and fees are accounted for. Indeed, over medium to long time frames, only a small handful of actively managed mutual funds surpass their benchmark index. So what they're saying there is basically this is not a way to make money.
No, he's basically in it for the rumble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
free speech. It is so important. And it wasn't long ago that I was looking at China and going, God, it must be awful having to censor yourself on Weibo or whatever. Yeah, and now they're probably looking at us going, well done, guys. Yeah. How's YouTube going for you and Twitter and all that?
We can at least define women.
So. Yes, we can.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, literally, you'll get suspended from Twitter if you misgender someone.
I do it deliberately all the time.
Don't get yourself suspended. Elon's not in charge of it yet.
Yeah, that's true.
But the point is, if people are going to be like, oh, he's just going to do this to try and make money, or no, that's not that doesn't appear to be the case. But the analyst for Yahoo Finance had a take on this. He thinks that, quote, this is just the appetizer. Ultimately, we believe he will have an active stake over the coming weeks or months. This is just the start. I think he will have a broader strategic focus on Twitter, whether it's changing the slate, changing the management team, or ultimately a buyout. Say their analysts on here. Maybe. I don't know, and I don't know anything about stock.
So. I wouldn't want him to have a buyout of the whole thing either. I think what you need is these... Big tech's much more dangerous to us than our own government, in a way, isn't it? Because our governments do what big tech tells them to do.
So, that's true.
You don't want him to own it, to own everything, but we do need a place, as you said, it is the modern public square. You do need a place where you can express a different view. Also, because if you can express a different view, you begin the process of recapturing someone's ability to be offended.
Yes.
Everyone's forgotten how to deal with offense. Yep. So, that's what Twitter should.
To be honest with you, I'm in favor of him buying it out and having a controlling share of it.
Yeah, well.
Because, I mean, it'll be mad, won't it? They'll be screeching. It'll be great.
Yes.
We get an official statement from Elon on this. Oh, hi, lol. I'm sorry. I just really like the way he conducts himself on Twitter. I want him to own it.
He's got a sense of humor, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
You can see a sense of humor is a sign of humanity. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, like, I hate to say it, but I really think that Elon Musk is the most relatable person on, like, in the public sphere at the moment, because Donald Trump was deplatformed.
I wonder when his. Did you see the typical liberals this morning of Elon letting the video of Elon letting Donald back up?
Yes. This again, like, this is. You will be unsurprised to learn that almost everyone and their mother who doesn't have a verified checkmark on Twitter is saying, restore Donald Trump, restore Donald Trump, restore Donald Trump. Because that's the test.
Mm.
You know, if Elon can get Donald Trump back on,
do it now.
Then Twitter could actually become a useful platform again.
It should really be trending.
Yes, it should. Donald Trump should be trending on Twitter.
I can't be bothered with Twitter.
Along with Elon Musk.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Elon was asking other questions as well. It's like, do you want an edit button? 73% of people do.
It's a good idea. I've always thought an edit button is important because people often spell things wrong, but it's deliberately not. Also, the other thing I think you should have is a redact button or an opinion changed button. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, this is the problem with Twitter is what it is quite a micro blogging site. And so it's not it is for concrete public statements. Mm. That's actually how they envisaged it initially. And so it is, in fact, there's a person who posts under here. If you go to the next one, John, I think it's, this person, who actually puts out a very reasonable set of conditions, which in fact Elon Musk was like, oh, that sounds reasonable. It should have an edit button for only available for a few minutes after the tweet is posted. And when an edit is made, there's a small link that shows the edit. This keeps a public record, but allows the tweet to fix a simple mistake and re-notify the followers in the new tweet, which sounds very reasonable. And I think that's exactly right, because you don't want 5 years ago someone to have made a statement and then go back and edit it.
No.
You know, to change history, obviously. We don't want that.
Well, I had tweet delete on for ages, right, on my thing. So I just didn't want to, I don't really view it, I don't know what microblogging is, but I just use Twitter as a sort of broadcasting platform too. So and my views change sometimes. So I just, I have it, I used to have it on, but I've taken it off now because I don't mind.
But the point is, you don't want someone who's been making a series of statements to then go back and edit those so they are different statements.
Yeah,
that's just retroactively change the past.
No.
Few minutes.
It's sensible. You say the wrong thing. I did one yesterday. I said the lady who wrote the rules for lockdowns was fined for breaking lockdowns, and I said I called her a minister, and she wasn't. She was a civil servant. And all people did was just, and I could have just changed it. Yes. Sorry for being human.
Oh God, there was a very small mistake in that tweet.
Mm.
Anyway, so I think that's a good point. So what do you think the left wing response to this was?
Joy, clapping, happiness, thrill. Let's have a look at what they said.
Yeah, hysterical screeching from one data scientist at Twitter.
I love Andy. He finds these things so brilliantly, doesn't he?
He's so great, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I love this. I'm honestly kind of terrified right now. Cry.
They're always terrified.
But what's a prominent transphobe is buying a stake in Twitter? It's not at all funny. I don't know. I think it's kind of funny. I'm kind of enjoying it.
I love the way that we've just jumped off racism now. Now it's transphobe. Yeah. I mean, and the problem is the next one is mental health.
Yeah. Is Elon Musk not a racist by this person's standard?
He must be. Everyone's a racist.
Exactly.
There is no one who isn't a massive, huge racist.
But I look at the mental illnesses. Feminist, demisexual, genderqueer, trans woman. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what I would expect to see someone.
In no way.
Data scientist at Twitter.
Mentally unwell.
No, someone who you would certainly trust with important decisions. But there was a tweet going around about losers already resigning. This one people have been sharing around a lot. My name is Jackson Mulholland, and I'm one of many people working here at Twitter in charge of developing terms and conditions for users. We're not stripping away free speech. We're protecting users from bullies, bigots, and spam. I refuse to work with or for Elon Musk. I'm resigning. Now, This is a parody account.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, right.
However, it's really hard to tell.
Yeah.
Because that looks exactly what our Twitter data scientist would have tweeted.
There's something interesting about that. Let me just, where is it?
Here you go.
Because what he's saying, we're not, I know it's a parody account, but as you say, it's what would be said. We're not stripping away free tweets. We're protecting users from bullies and bigots and spam.
Yeah.
Now, there is a bit in the Bible, which is quite useful about this. Good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger, and it is his honor and glory to overlook a transgression or an offense. Mm. So the Bible commands you to deal with offense. Mm. And it's one of the fundamental things to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we've all the little, the rainbow stealers, as I call them, are sitting
there. The people who recognize the covenant with God.
Yes.
Yes.
They just, everything is about protecting themselves from things they don't like, and that is the exact opposite of free speech.
Yes,
it is.
It is the very source of their tyranny.
Mm.
And as I said, this being a parody account, well, I mean, technically it's satire, but it's also speaking to a deep-seated truth about the left wing. And if there aren't a series of statements like this made by leftists working at Twitter, I would be genuinely surprised.
Yeah.
But I mean,
They'll be outside HQ.
Oh yeah, they'll be outside protesting
in masks.
Yeah, in the same way. What was it they did it for? Netflix.
Yeah,
the Netflix protest.
Was it Dave Chappelle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be exactly the same. In fact, in the next couple of days, I bet we see exactly that. But so basically, Jane Mulholland is less a satirist than he is a prophet, I think. Anyway, so this was a really interesting thread that I found, and I agree with almost all of the statements in it. So this was just some random guy who's like, look, I've got some advice for Elon Musk on this. So I don't know who this guy is, but I'm going to guess he's a pretty veteran culture warrior. And so I thought it was just worth reading out because I think this is definitely good to know. So one is move extremely fast. Don't give them time to plan and react. They are still shell-shocked and won't be thinking clearly. Totally agree. Just get on there. Get on there. Two, put pressure not only on the leadership, but lower level employees as well. Woke companies are more autonomous than you might initially think. Their employees are there because they already know what to do. Get as many of those who will be a problem to quit as possible. Absolutely. You know, literally go in there like an absolute hammer, being like, look, I'm the biggest shareholder here now. My voice is the loudest. If you don't like it, you know where the door is. You know? Number three is, of course, restore Trump immediately. Or at least publicly vocalize your willingness to do so. This will help with the previous suggestion. Bring back Malone, McCullough, and some of the other well-known banned accounts. Frankly, bring back all of the banned accounts.
Yeah.
You know, I want my account back, Elon.
Yeah,
I want my account back. Let's have it.
How dare they say who can and can't have an account?
Exactly.
It's either a free space for all or it's not.
Jack Dorsey called Twitter a human right. So you're depriving me of my human rights, Jack. You know, Elon, be a human rights supporter. Get me back on Twitter.
Reinstate Carl Benjamin.
Yeah, exactly. Number four is increase your stake every time the leadership publicly counter signals you.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? With only 9%, you'll be a pariah to them. But if you show a willingness to increase it, you'll be able to leverage it. That's such a good idea. Like literally, I'm the richest man who's ever lived.
Behave like a
But publicly counter signals. If you even speak against my agenda here, I'm buying more and more and more. Do you want to see me own your entire company? You'll do as I said. That is absolutely brilliant advice.
I like this present witness guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I don't know anything about him, so if he's a terrible dude, then okay. But that's fantastic advice, right? Number five, apply pressure to the NGOs involved in fact-checking and hate speech classification. Keeping in mind this isn't just one company. What we perceive as Twitter is a vast network of NGOs, State Department operatives, and advertisers coordinating to drive the narrative. Completely correct.
100% agree with that.
Yeah. Number six, signal intent to move away from the legal defense shield of AI / ML and towards a more human content mediation approach. Twitter and Facebook hide behind this defense to avoid legal accountability for obviously politically targeted aggression. Fair enough. Number seven, market this as a pivotal piece of a greater cultural movement to restore America. Good idea.
Didn't someone try and make America great again?
There may have been someone who should be restored to Twitter.
Someone who tried that.
Who had an opinion on it. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are many people who can still be reached that desperately want something positive to latch onto after what they've been subjected to over the last few years. And that's what made Donald Trump so appealing, I think. Yeah. He had a positive vision. Yeah, it wasn't just these people bad.
He had a positive vision, but he also had, a huge sense of humor.
Yes.
Did you see his thing about the hole-in-one?
No, I saw it being reported, but I didn't think it.
A statement from the 45th President of the United States, and he just describes getting a hole-in-one. And he just releases it. The man has a sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see Trump. I'm an actor and you read body language. Yeah. This one, well, I was an actor until
you decided that wokeism was bad.
Yeah. And you can tell Trump, as much as they tried to attack him, you can tell Trump is warm with people. He was very engaging with people. I know he slipped through the net of the grand narrative and had to be got rid of, but yeah. I think he's a good guy. But I feel exactly the opposite when I look at Biden.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like a creepy, creepy man.
Yes, he looks cold, and the amount of weird sniffing of children just makes me really suspicious of him.
Yeah.
So anyway, what are we on? Number eight, put people you trust in there immediately to start to figure out how their internal processes work. They will try to adapt by shielding what they really do to outsiders, but again, this highlights how important it is you move quickly. Nine, there is not even a chance they're going to treat you fairly. Don't expect it. Don't give them the benefit of the doubt. They fully understand the severity of the situation.
Good.
Exactly. He's absolutely right. You know, don't give them a chance. And again, look, you keep leveraging the I will buy more Twitter stock until you do what I tell you. Until literally you've got the choice now of doing it willingly or watching the world's richest man. I mean, like Elon Musk is worth what? $256 billion.
Right. Dollars, I think.
Twitter in its entirety is worth $40 billion.
Yeah.
And it was worth something like $35 billion until Elon Musk decided to buy up $3 billion worth of stock. So it's like, look, Elon Musk could buy your company four or five times over. So don't make him do it. You know, just let him. Just
even that margin, that small margin, 10%. If there's a 10% improvement in free speech, that will broadly wave out into society.
Exactly.
They need to put you back on there.
Yeah. And number 10, strike when they're emotional. Let the changes you cause become the story. They will literally write it for you, and the public will cheer for what you're doing. The liberal media is one of the most universally hated entities in the United States and outside the United States.
Yeah, but that's
we hate it too.
It's clever because it's strike while they're emotional. Let the changes you cause become the story. Yeah. It's like judo.
Yeah.
It's like let the weight of screaming rage collapse in on itself.
This was like Owen Jones going, oh, Boris Johnson called gays bum boys and Muslim women letterboxes. And like, yeah, keep telegraphing that, Owen.
Yeah.
How do you think the general public feels about you activists these days?
Oh.
You know, they're sick of it too.
He blocked me because I told him that he was standing on the corpses of the dead of Grenfell preaching at people.
Which he does.
Yeah. I can't bear these people.
And number 11, again, I don't know how much direct control over Twitter Elon Musk is going to have, because as a shareholder, basically, they're going to be voting based on the number of shares they've got on things that are voted on within the company. So it's unlikely he can do any of these things, really. But these are the directions in which he can go. And the buying more stock when they counter signal is the most powerful thing. Yeah.
It's also funny.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
And, you know, when it's funny and mischievous, I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Whipping them into line.
Yeah.
But remove verified status for most journos, commentators, and media outlets. He's not going to be able to do that, but that would be hilarious. Anyway, so just to finish this off quickly, let's go back to Jack Dorsey. Because like you said, I think he realizes that he's part of the problem. He's created one of the tools by which the West is being totally crippled. He says, in the days of Usenet, IRC, the web, even email, were amazing. Centralizing discovery and identity into corporations really damaged the internet. I realize I'm partially to blame and regret it.
That's the beginning.
That's a very big admission, isn't it?
I've always thought Jack was a weirdo, scary Buddhist capitalist. You know, one of those people that you go to school with. Well, I went to a posh school.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, they talk like that, mate. And you're like, your dad's a stockbroker. Stop it.
Yeah.
But he has, anyone who can take any accountability for anything, I encourage and will support.
Yes. So good for Jack, basically, for at least accepting that he, you know, that's a big step in the right direction.
Isn't it?
Know? And fair enough.
Or he's scared, and he realizes that, you know. There's always some, you know.
Yeah, but this is a bold and brave public statement to put out, and well done, Jack. Basically.
Well done, Jack. Yeah.
And just finally, just to show you the kind of person who's taking over here, Elon is a free speech absolutist. He was asked by governments to block Russian news sources, and he said he won't do it unless at gunpoint because he's a free speech absolutist. Good for him.
Good for him.
Totally agree.
It's a tricky area, isn't it, free speech absolutism? But you sort of have to be, in a way.
Yeah, I think so. You know, whether you like it or not, we should be. And it's not just about their right to speak, it's about my right to hear.
Yeah.
You know, I want to hear what they're saying and judge for myself. And if you take that away, what you're saying is I'm not allowed. I'm not capable of making a judgment for myself. Like, no one watches Russia Today. Like,
I do.
Okay.
Well. I do it deliberately just to annoy, you know, just to annoy people. I watch it on social media because it's not been taken down.
No. Anyway, let's move on to the final segment. The UK government is moving to create a legal framework that will exclude trans people from single-sex spaces, and you can imagine what kind of lead balloon this went down like with a certain kind of activist lobby. But before we begin, if you want to support us, you can go over to lucys.com and check out our J.R.R. Tolkien collection that's been done by John. John is an amazing reader, got an amazing voice, and we love Tolkien here. And so he's been going through Tolkien's poems that you may not be aware of. These are free, actually, so you can go check them out on the website. But if you do want support, you can subscribe and get access to all of our great premium content. Anyway, so trans people can be legally excluded from trans people can be legally excluded from single-sex spaces if justifiable, say the Equality in Human Rights Commission in Britain. That's a hell of a good start.
Mm.
It's
loose, though, isn't it? Sufficiently
it is.
Good reason.
It
reminds me of the sort of online harms bill. Look, it's important that I think they've taken a measure of the temperature of the nation.
Yeah,
and actually, I think people are generally. I mean, I get this in life, and I'm sure you do as well. I walk through life, and people come up and say, "Thanks for doing what you're doing. I really appreciate what you're saying." You know, you just talk a lot of common sense. But this they've obviously taken a sniff and gone, oh, that's probably not a great analogy. they've taken the temperature of the nation and gone, look, this is ridiculous. In America, they've had rapes in...
We'll get to this.
I really... God, I'm
well prepared.
We're literally like zoomed into each other's
Yeah, I know. You're well ahead of the narrative here. But no, you are absolutely right, of course. I agree with you. I think the government is basically looking at this and going, look, okay, we're being asked to accept things that have negative consequences for vulnerable people.
Well, it's a horrible... As I was saying to you before, I was watching a concert at a school, and my fiancée leaned over to me and she went, you see that girl second on the left? That's a bloke. And I went, what? 10-year-old boy, fully dressed as a girl. And I'm like, where is this kid going to go from here? What options has he got? It's either a withering climb down to say, you know what, it was just a phase I was going through, or it's, I need some puberty blockers while I make up my mind. It's almost like the minute you allow it as a parent, and this is why I feel it's child abuse by the parents, is the minute you allow it, that child doesn't really have a chance to move. And I'm not saying there aren't gender dysphoric children. There are. And I'm not saying you don't get camp boys and sort of quite butchy masculine girls. But there is a clear distinction. And as a parent, it's your responsibility and your job to really make sure that your child knows that, because this child now is in a position where... Where'd it go?
I mean, 90% of gender dysphoric children apparently evolve out of this during puberty.
And become gay, become gay.
Or just become normal, just become straight. And so imagine if you were that 10-year-old who's dressing and acting like a girl, and by 16, you're a regular boy. You're going to be like, why did you let that happen?
Mm.
I was 10. I don't know anything. I'm not the author of my own thoughts. I'm not like, someone who's responsible with the decision-making. And imagine if it gets worse and they, like with Keira Bell, incidentally.
Yeah.
They end up having mammectomy or something?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Top surgery, they call it. Yeah. Disgusting.
And it's just like, right, so you've cut off a teenager's breast for ideology.
But don't worry, the former Archbishop of Canterbury says that makes you whole.
Which doesn't make any sense anyway.
I'm not sure chopping off your meat and two veg is going to make you whole. Yeah.
You have to remove parts of your body to be whole.
I totally support anyone's right to if they want to do whatever they want to do to them. But as you've just said, as a child, it's parental abuse.
Yes.
But I've got no issue with trans. I don't have any issues with anything really.
No, but it's just you're not able to make informed decisions as a child.
But did you see what the government, that's again what the government did in terms of the vaccination program by bringing forward this Gillett competence thing. It's like, yes, you can. And maybe you can have a meeting with the school to tell you that you feel like a girl, and we don't need to tell mummy and daddy about it. The minute the state starts doing that, I am at war with the state.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely wrong. But anyway, right, let's carry on. So the Women's Inequality Committee in the House of Commons were asking the Equality and Human Rights Commission, we need some clarification. We need to know what the hell this is all about, because, of course, this is deeply confusing for everyone. And so they were like, yeah, well, maybe it's appropriate to exclude trans people from single-sex spaces with sufficiently good reason. And there are lots of things that are good reasons, in my opinion. How do you think Stonewall took this?
I'm sure Stonewall will have taken it in a very moderate, balanced way.
Fair-handed
way. I feel really sorry for Stonewall, because once the gay thing was done, they're like, I need a new issue.
Yeah.
So what did they say? You tell me, but I imagine it'll be something like, this is the worst piece of transphobia in the history.
Well, I think if we quiet for a second, we can still hear the screeching from London at the moment, right?
I can hear it.
So Stonewall has said, this advice will likely lead to more confusion and a greater risk of illegal discrimination. Well, it won't be illegal if it's legal. And the idea that Stonewall are going to accuse other people of causing confusion, I mean, that's a bit ironic, isn't it?
Mm.
The examples appear to encourage blanket bans rather than by a case-by-case decision-making, and cover restricting access to day-to-day settings like bathrooms and gym classes, which is extraordinary. No, it's not extraordinary. It was totally ordinary 10 years ago that someone who had a penis wasn't going in the women's bathroom.
Yeah.
It's just totally ordinary. Like, we're about the same age. This never came up when you were a kid, would it?
No, never. But it's about the binary. It's about saying, you know, what's the first thing a child really works out? It's like, my dada. It's that sort of thing. Yeah. So if you go, well, no such thing, mate.
Yeah, like, I don't know what you're talking about, kid.
But this is the foundation of my understanding of the world. Tough.
Yeah, actually, you're a girl. Now let's get you the hormone blockers. Like, it's mad.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Why do they do it? My dad always says it's the means, not rather than the ends. He says they don't really care what happens. It just caused the chaos as much as possible, relentlessly.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. And it's to essentially validate their exercise of power.
Mm.
So they can be like, look, you're doing what we say. You know, you have to agree to these things. And they don't care the damage they do.
No.
But so Stonewall and other groups recently urged the United Nations to review the EHRC's accreditation, international accreditation. So they're like, oh, you need to get the EHRC discredited by the United Nations. But the thing is, this was refused because they were like, don't be so salty.
Yeah.
And so that's good. And so the chairwoman of the EHRC is Baroness Kishwell Faulkner, who said it was their mission to ensure that people across Britain are treated fairly. Where rights between groups compete, our duty as an independent regulator is to help providers of services and others to balance the needs of different users in line with the law, which is fine. And so I think that we just take a look at what the examples are and what the guidance is anyway, because that's again, like, it's a totally sober and reasonable perspective from the EHRC here. As in, you know, it's obviously been done in good faith, right? But this is the guidance that the government gives us. When can you provide a separate or single-sex service? And so you can only do this if a joint service would be less effective and providing that service is a proportionate means of achieving a legitimate aim. Which, I mean, doesn't say a lot, does it?
That sounds like legal speak to me.
Yes. If you're providing a service to only one sex and not to the other, you must be able to meet the following conditions. One, people of that sex need the service, such as period pads or something like that. You know, men never need this. People with penises never need this. Or number two, providing the service jointly to both sexes would not be sufficiently effective. I don't know. You were opening a gym or something, a women's only gym, and you had to have a men's only gym, but you only could afford like, you know, a quarter of the equipment or something. So it wouldn't be an effective gym, you know, something like that. In fact, there's an example. If women of a particular religion or belief will not use the local swimming pool at the same time as the men, women only swimming sessions could be provided as well as mainly mixed sessions. Number three is the level of the need for services makes it not reasonably practical to provide separate services for each sex. For example, a woman-only support unit for women who have experienced domestic or sexual violence can be set up, even if there is no parallel men-only unit because of insufficient demand. I think there probably is demand.
Oh, there really is demand.
For men-only ones, but I guess the government doesn't care about that. But the religious preference is accepted. But what's interesting, right, is we've got quite an easy barrier to what is and what isn't reasonable. To prevent rape is very reasonable.
Extremely reasonable.
And there are lots of examples of why this needs to be done. For example, in prisons. You shouldn't put people with penises in women's prisons. Because rapists, who, I don't know whether they were transgender before they became rapists, but who, when they go to prison, say, I'm transgender, send me to the women's prison, will continue to rape. As Miss Karen White has shown us. Karen White was obviously legally still male, a convicted paedophile and multiple rapes against women, sexually assaulted other inmates while she was in prison.
In America, prison. they've had pregnancies and births in all female wings of prisons. The problem here is, which is really dreadful, is that you're taking your average trans person is going to have normal political views. They just happen to be trans, and that it's not the centre of their identity. They've got much more going on. So this is abusing a very small minority of the population, and making those people vulnerable. And that I think is utterly disgusting, because that is a
using them as a meat shield.
Yeah, exactly.
We're hiding behind this. Attack the trans person rather than the ideology behind it. Because, I mean, like, you get people like Blair White and just, you know, Rosa Dawn, who's like, no, obviously, you don't want to open the door to abusers like Karen White.
Yeah.
You know, if anyone can just say, I'm a woman now, put me in the woman's prison, what, this rapist?
Yeah.
This rapist, literally this rapist, gets put into a woman's prison and continues to rape. What a shock.
Yeah,
it can't be done. But anyway, return to the guidance. Number four is the services provided at a hospital or the place where users need special care, supervision, or attention. For example, single-sex wards in hospitals and nursing homes to stop rape.
Mm.
Again, there's another example.
Did that happen recently?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. There was. It was disgraceful, actually.
Horrible.
So this was a hospital that dismissed the claim of rape by a trans attacker, saying there were no men in the ward. There was, quote, no male there, so the rape could not have happened.
I mean, jeepers creepers. And they tried to cover it up for a year.
Yeah. This went on for over a year.
Yeah. Yeah. And we just wander off. Don't we? We just go, oh, well,
it's disgusting. And thank God there was CCTV in the hospital that caught the rape in progress.
Yeah, but they tried to cover it up for a year.
Yes, they did.
This is how, you know, what about Sarah Everard?
Yep.
You know, we went, that guy was found, Wayne Cousins was found in minutes, you know.
Yep.
But this, with this weird sort of ideologically based stuff, yep. No, we can cover that up
because
for a year.
The perpetrator has a protected class. And so, he's not just invisible to the ideology. He is someone to be, you know, guarded by the Equality Act. Yeah.
By the Equality Act, which is, it's terrible, the Equality Act, for that. I love the fact there's an Equality Act, and inside the Equality Act, there are protected characteristics. It just makes me giggle.
It's mad, isn't it? But they're literally telling rape victims that they're not rape victims.
Yeah, you weren't raped, sorry, because there was no male there.
Dystopian. It just sounds so patriarchal, doesn't it? it sounds so patriarchal. This rape victim, she wasn't raped. Don't be silly. You know, it was consensual or something like that.
There were any lasses in there. It was young girls. It was girls.
Yeah, exactly. Can't have been rape. But yeah, so this took a year for the hospital to actually admit that, yes, there was a male on the ward and, yes, a rape occurred because of the CCTV footage. Without that, this woman would never have got justice. But anyway, returning to the guidance. Number 5 is the service is likely to be used by more than one person at the same time, and a woman might reasonably object to the presence of a man or vice versa. For example, separate male and female changing rooms. Why might this be necessary?
Rape?
That's right, to stop rape. The example of this, what we're going to use, is the Loudoun County, Virginia cover-up. We covered this on a premium podcast on listies.com because it was something that we were suspicious about putting on social media, frankly. But yeah, obviously this was a trans student who raped two girls, teenage girls, and the board covered it up because protected characteristic. There's no male involved, therefore it can't be a rape. Anyway, returning to the guidance, number 6. A person might reasonably object to the service of the user being the opposite sex because the service involves physical contact. For example, a sports session involving a high degree of physical contact or any service involving intimate personal health or hygiene. This includes sports, obviously. And we have, of course, a wonderful example of that. Do you know who Fallon Fox is?
I do know who Fallon Fox is. He is a UFC fighter.
Yes, an MMA fighter.
And MMA fighter and has... what's the... Sharon Davis is great on this style, but has broke someone's...
That's correct. As was reported by the Western Journal, was described as the bravest athlete in history.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it's great. It's like me fighting a 5-year-old
and
beating up a 5-year-old and being called Dad of the Year.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like ridiculous.
Yeah. No, it's disgusting. Yeah, so Fallon Fox broke the skull of the woman that she was fighting and then got called the bravest athlete in history by Vox's Outsports blog, which is just amazing. It's just absolutely incredible. So yeah, maybe women should be protected from all
from
this.
Men.
Yeah, from men.
Seeing as they're men, like the attorney, the deputy, the man of the year, woman of the year, who's a man.
Yeah,
come on, guys, it's mad.
It is, but there's no question that there are demonstrable negative effects from allowing people who are male into women's spaces.
There really are. This is the only time I can ever think, look, this makes sense, is when I go to a London theatre and it's the half time, you know, the interval, and everyone needs a pee. And I feel really sorry for the women because the queue is huge outside their loo. And I do feel sorry for them. So, maybe you just need to build more women's loos and places.
Yeah. I mean, the alphabet people on Twitter had thoughts about this.
What do the alphabet people say?
They're not happy about it.
No, why?
I know. Well, this is going to out trans people, as if people can't tell. Sorry. Don't know what to tell you.
What are you outing? You've outed yourself by being transgender.
Yes.
If you think we're missing out on the Adam's apple, darling, it's,
giant hairy male hands. It's like, yeah, okay.
And your massively broad shoulders, then... I mean, I haven't been to Thailand, so actually, I've been to Thailand, but I've never seen. I'm told there are some very, very convincing.
I can imagine that there are.
But
But yeah, this one, anyone claiming this policy being enforced wouldn't force trans people to out themselves in order to participate in public life is lying, and they know they're lying. It's like, I don't care. I'm sorry. What?
I want fewer rapes, and what can I possibly do to please you? Yeah, exactly. It's like, you cannot have 99.96% of the population walking around trying to pacify 0.04% of the population.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why they're trying to increase the numbers.
Yeah. They absolutely are. Mm. They're certainly trying. But, like, you know, I just don't care. Unfortunately, they're going to have to live as trans people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like...
What can you do?
It's the COVID of gender ideology.
Yep.
99.9% survival rate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why not just have public bathrooms is the next suggestion. As in, why doesn't just everyone share a bathroom? And it's like, yeah, because women don't want that.
It's also, they do it in London everywhere, and it's not nice because mm-hmm. instinctively as a man, maybe it's just because I'm a man of a certain age now, I walk into one of these things and there's a woman washing her hands and I feel like I've invaded her space.
Yes.
Even if she's washing her hands.
Yes.
I'm like, oh God, what if a woman comes out of a door?
I've accidentally walked into women's bathrooms before and felt awful.
Yeah.
Like, just feel like a terrible intruder.
Women need protect. The male's job is to protect women. That's why we got bigger muscles.
Yes, and it's fine for women to have spaces away from men, and I think it's fine for men to have spaces away from women. Bring back the working men's clubs, man.
Yeah,
you know, I'm all for it. You know, it's, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Very patriarchal.
But the person who's done this, I love it. Again, it's just if you can get the next one. Sorry, this Rose Schmidt's actual woman. Who needs to write actual woman?
Someone who isn't an actual woman.
That's right. The transphobic rhetoric from EHRC and the UK government is unforgivable. If we go to the next one. As a trans woman, I will continue to use the women's bathroom until the day I die. As a man who really hates women, so will I. For the same reason.
It's properly misogynistic.
It's
that,
mad, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I don't care whether you want me in your space. Yeah. I'm a real woman.
Yeah.
You're not. You're a man.
Yeah. I hate to tell you this, but it's just, I just don't agree with the premise that trans women are women.
No,
I don't agree with that.
A trans woman is a trans.
Verified, yeah.
A trans woman is a trans woman. Yes. I mean, oh, but I go a bit harder at now because I'm just getting a bit tired of it. And I'm going, a trans woman is actually a man.
Yeah.
You know,
did you see Keir Starmer's wonderful attempt to defend this position?
Oh my God.
He was brilliant. He was like, women are adult, women, he said, are adult females, and trans women are women. And it's like, yeah, but Keir, that actually is completely nonsensical. Because if woman is adult female, that means we can just replace the word woman with the words adult female. Mm. So he's like, trans adult females are adult females. And it's like, yeah, but that also destroys the trans argument. Because what you're saying is trans adult females, as in adult females who think they're men, are adult females. So they're not trans. Like, they're not men. They're still women. And so you've just, it's like the brain of these people is tiny and can be put into a little box and should be put on display for being so smooth.
It's just
incredible.
It's the leader of the opposing party in Great Britain cannot tell you what a woman is.
Yeah.
And they want to be in charge.
Yeah.
I mean, Boris, to be fair to him, he got it a bit better. But then they gave it to Rishi. To be fair, Rishi had been given a slap that morning when he said, how come your wife made 12 million quid out of Russia in the last year? But then Rishi was just sat there going, I've said what I want to say about it. And I've said what I want to say about it.
Yeah.
The Prime Minister said, I'm like, why can't you? Why are you trying to alienate 51% of the electorate?
Yeah.
Why do you hate them?
Yeah.
Why do you hate? You're scared of 10 people on Twitter.
Exactly. They're scared of the media and they're scared of Twitter. That's what they're afraid of. And the thing is, the Conservatives should be taking the Donald Trump approach and just be like, no, all of these people are wrong and we don't care about their opinion because we get massive amounts of votes.
Yeah.
Like, we don't care about them and we're going to do the right thing. That's what the Conservatives should be doing in all times and in all places.
Mm.
But anyway, yeah. So any last thoughts on this one?
I find it astonishing that basically any piece of legislation which is brought in that has the intention of doing something, you can just take the word and flip it around. The Equality Act is not the Equality Act, it's the Inequality Act. I can understand how people feel it's used as a shield. It should be used as a shield, but it's been used by a sword, as a sword by these very small minority activist groups who, the bit I don't understand is why politicians are so scared of them. I mean, I can understand myself. I get to speak much, well, I've always spoken freely, but it's almost like you have to get to completely cancelled before you can express your view. Yeah. So I think they're probably going, look, if I can stay somewhere in the nebulous nether regions of this topic, probably about bad choice of word again, then maybe I'll be able to please everybody.
Yeah.
That's not what conviction is, though.
But also, I don't think it works. No. I don't think that's the issue. I know. I think you're absolutely right. It's a tiny amount of people on Twitter that get an oversized presence in their mind because the politicians themselves are on Twitter. If the politicians weren't on Twitter, they wouldn't see this stuff. Mm. They wouldn't know that people on Twitter were saying, oh, he's a transphobe, blah, blah, blah. And they'd be getting loads more votes.
They hate that word phobe, don't they? Yeah. I'm a real hater of that word phobe.
Oh, God. I'm a phobe.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. Anyway, let's go through some comments. So Adrian says, is the decline of birth rates possibly due to single people not being able to become pregnant? Only cohabiting couples could legally procreate. Not sure that percentage of births are to establish couples versus promiscuous slags, but one could factor on the birth rate. Maybe.
It's a point worth making.
Yeah, so it is, and yeah, with the number of people who now aren't cohabiting, living on their own, it's certainly a possibility. Israeli Crusader says, I can't wait to see the overdiagnosis of autism in kids because they can't recognize expressions because of the crap the mask did.
Oh, God. But I mean, look, every kid's getting diagnosed with autism at the moment.
It's mad, isn't it?
This whole thing of individuality. Kids are different. My eldest son has a diagnosis of autism, and he genuinely does have some neurodevelopmental thing going on, but I just call it him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you're just you.
Well, I hate pathologizing these things. Because if you say, oh, it's this, then it implies that it can never be changed or it shouldn't be improved or worked on or anything like that. And it kind of puts them in an inferior category. And I hate that. I'm not having that.
Everyone has different qualities. Everyone is, it's one of the most wonderful things about being unique.
Yeah. And I do think a lot of it is sort of pathologizing maleness as well. Men like fiddling with something for a long period of time. There's something I can get really involved in. And the sort of more feminine social worker types are like, oh, that must be autism. It's like, no, he doesn't have to be social all the time.
Yeah.
He can have time to himself and be interested in a personal activity.
Trying to invent a small nuclear reactor so that we can get to net zero.
Yeah, exactly. But who didn't do stuff like that when they were a young boy? And I'd probably have been called autistic as well. It's like, but I'm not. I don't think I am. Maybe.
Well, it gets bigger. I have experience of someone who was being diagnosed with inactive hyperactivity disorder and asymptomatic epilepsy.
Inactive hyperactivity disorder?
Yeah, you've got hyperactivity disorder, but you can't see it.
Oh.
Because it's inactive. And
how do you know you've got it?
You don't, because you don't have it.
Right.
And asymptomatic epilepsy is you're epileptic, but you never display any symptoms. That's where we're at.
That's amazing. Mm. That is amazing. How could they ever prove any of that?
Well, because it's
oh, of course it is.
Find a private doctor, he'll tell you anything.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And that's another thing I hate as well. Oh, follow the science. It's like, look, science is just as buyable as anything else. You can purchase the things that you want. You've been saying this about the tobacco companies for years. So why is that not true about, say, Pfizer?
Yeah.
Come on. Anyway, Baron von Walk says, well, our civilization is going to collapse and our kids are forever damaged. But look on the bright side. At least the CEO of Pfizer has 5 more new yachts. This is what's insufferable. Because like you were saying earlier, remember when we were young and left-wing activists were pro-freedom, pro-free speech, critical of power and corporate influence. And now they're just like, oh, you've got to get your vaccines. And they're getting literally vaccines, companies tattooed on them. And it's just like, why are you defending the Pfizer has paid out the most in compensation of any company as well.
And they've had the biggest ever fine, haven't they, as well?
Yeah.
And Johnson & Johnson got done for the asbestos in talcum baby powder. I mean, look, if you wanted to, again, it all just boils down to a thing. It's like if you want to take a vaccine for a 99% survival illness, which is rushed out in 6 months, then you go for it, John.
Yeah, it's your
choice.
What
I'm going to do is I'm going to wait until the little bugger comes and gets me, and then I'm going to rely on my body, which has evolved over many, many tens of thousands of years, and see if that does a better job, which I imagine it might do. It's not a sterilizing vaccine either, is it?
So, and it's not like there aren't other methods of treatment. as Joe Rogan showed everyone, and Tim Pool showed everyone. Yeah, but never mind. But yeah, no, I can't understand the obsession with making sure that Pfizer CEOs have just got more and more yachts.
It's meaning to these people, isn't it? It's like we can get behind something, and overreach, and allow the corporatists and the state to become bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. So they'll fight every time. If they can expand the state by 0.25% a year, they'll be thrilled.
Yeah, I know. And God, if only it was 0.25% a year.
I know.
But anyway, XYNZ says, interesting release from the Premier of New South Wales. That's a governor to the Yanks, apparently. That's the QR codes for BS. According to him, the public demanded QR tracking. Which was worse, a government that knows it's doing BS and does it anyway, or a populace that's so infantilised that it says, lock me down and track me harder, daddy? I think the population. Honestly, the government's always going to try and get away with what it tries to get away with.
There was an interesting guy on who made a point from Australia, because he said, because Australia is so big, that they rely on the government so much for their transport networks and road networks, so that when the government tell them to do something, they tend to do it, even though they are kind of free-spirited.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Right. That is interesting.
Yeah.
But no, I do think it's down to the population. Like, the government's always going to try and do what, you know, it's always going to try and increase its power, its influence, its control, and this is just a natural response to being a problem solver but not having the power to solve every problem. You know, you're going to naturally try and accrue to yourself more and more influence, and so it has to be on the population that says, no, you can't go past this line. That's what I think.
There should be a law saying that the government can't be more than 40% of the economy.
Oh, God, yeah. Gaps, absolutely.
Not by NHS for
40%. God, maybe 10%.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, what is it now? Yeah. How many work for the state at the moment?
I mean, if we include the NHS, it's millions.
Yeah.
You know, the NHS is something like the sixth largest organization on earth, which is crazy. It's slightly behind the Chinese army. It's like, okay.
Oh, God.
It's mad. It's absolutely mad. And there's a Twitter account called Days of NHS Spending. Have you ever seen it?
No, I'm going to join it.
Can you get it up, John? Days of NHS. It's amazing, right? You know the new Big Ben tower?
Yeah.
Like the refurbishment. Everyone's like, oh, it cost $80 million, £80 million. And so someone asked them, okay, well, how many is that in Days of NHS Spending? 0.16 days. Of NHS spending.
Whoa.
That's not even an afternoon of NHS spending. Right? You go down, and if you click on this one, you can see just under it. Sorry, as a reply to that tweet. So the refurbishment is 0.165 days, or 4 hours of NHS spending, was the refurbishment of Big Ben. 4 hours.
Wow.
That is how much the NHS costs. It's staggering. Anyway, Freewill says, Western classical liberal democratic capitalist civilization has withstood the frontal class-based assault of Marxism. So the Marxists have infiltrated our cultural institutions, having gained control of them, using them to rot our civilization from within. That is totally true. That is completely demonstrably true, and this is the sort of stuff we have detailed on this website. Our politicians have either unwittingly or willingly or unwittingly been compliant in it. It is no good Boris venerating Churchill and pretending to ape him if he does not have Churchill's personal courage to stand against the oncoming tide that threatens us.
Absolutely right. The thing is, you know, no one would vote for this rubbish, would they?
No.
So they have to infiltrate the institutions, because no one's going to vote for it. No one cares about it either.
What do you think of Boris then?
I think Boris, I think he's, you know, if you spend 8 hours a night in bed with your chief political advisor, and that political advisor is, you know, a social justice warrior, then I think it's pretty hard to resist. And, you know, you behind every man is a good woman and the other way around, you know, and I think Boris is probably going to either get divorced or become more woke.
A part of me wonders whether Carrie Johnson was basically making a political play by marrying Boris.
What do you mean?
As in, she's obviously ideologically very leftist and very actively leftist. She wants to promote this. And maybe she just saw Boris as an opening to promote this politics.
It's not a bad idea.
Like, I don't want to be cynical. I don't know her.
Are you trying to say that women sometimes flash an ankle in order to get what they want?
Maybe it's happened once or twice in history.
Once or twice in history.
And I just have to wonder. I genuinely have to, because otherwise, what?
I can't imagine them like sitting down and having dinner and Boris, you know, what would they talk about? Yes,
leftism.
I saw all about the turtles. It's an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
I'll do something.
That's right. Trans women are women, darling. Yeah. You know, there was the Conservatives for Equality tent at the Conservative conference, and she gave a speech in there. It's like, what the hell is Conservatives for Equality? Conservatives for Communism?
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I just
get rid of all of this stuff.
People still think that the world is normal.
Yeah.
They don't think that their country is under attack. I've got a Russian friend who I called up to ask about Russia, and he just went, I feel so sad about what's going on in Russia. And he said, but my friend is send a link when you are in newspaper, and it is so nice to speak to your face, speak to you on the telephone, to tell you how proud I am of you, because your newspapers is always attacking you. It's a very, very good sign, because you're living in USSR.
Yeah,
and it's the way he said, the only way if you're really telling whether someone's telling the truth is whether the mainstream media attack them relentlessly.
That's exactly right. And it's mad how even the right-wing papers attack all the dissidents in this country. You know, there's not a single paper, like the Express should be the paper of Tommy Robinson.
Well, it's owned by the Mirror.
Well, there we go.
So it's like, you know, I sat with someone from the Express yesterday, and I had lunch with them. And by the end of lunch, it was so depressing. It was just like, is there anything you can give us, you know? And I said, yeah. I said, how do you cope? And he went, I drink.
God
bless you.
But that shows you that it's the hegemonic nature of the media. Even the opposition is controlled by the left.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
There's nothing other than, you know, people like you, people like what we're trying to do as well, who are just going, look, there is an alternative. Yeah. But unfortunately, they're very carefully, they got it, they did Brexit, and Brexit, they went, oh my God, we've let the plebs out of the bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we've got 10 cable ties to get them back in.
David Cameron probably got 5 lashes across the rear for that.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Anyway, Student of History says they locked kids in their homes with minimal human contact or exercise, and shock horror, they can't walk, talk, or read human facial expressions. Why are we surprised? We're not. That's the point. We knew this was going to be bad for them, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to anyone. And that's it's so awful.
Mm.
Matthew says, do you think the reaction to coronavirus by the British is due to their thoughts of the NHS, or it can do no wrong? Well, it was definitely leveraged like that, wasn't it?
It is.
Holy NHS. Have you prayed to the NHS today? Clap for the NHS.
It is our religion.
Yeah.
Well, it's not mine, but it is.
It's a religion.
But you know, it's all of these things. You know, the NHS now it's Ukraine, and you know, coronavirus is finished. Next trap. You know, it's people want to gather around something, don't they? But the NHS is I think probably. People love the people that work in the people that work there. When they walk into a hospital, they really appreciate it. But I think everything else about it is, I mean, I wouldn't go into hospital alone ever because of the number of doctors that attack me over masks and lockdowns and stuff like that. I wouldn't go in alone. I'd be like, oh, sorry, so we accidentally injected you with 45 milligrams of sodium potassium chloride.
There was some nurse the other day who did something like that in America, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I accidentally jabbed someone because...
And she was proud of it.
Yeah, and they put it on social media. It tells you everything you need to know.
Mm.
So anyway, so let's talk about... it hasn't refreshed. But, right, so... Sorry, I'm going to have to refresh this because for some reason it didn't. Give me a second. Hopefully.
That was quite frightening, that lady giving the...
it was awful,
saying that
wasn't
she
it?
Was... I think she's... It's essentially stabbing someone.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's assault, isn't it? Well, it is assault.
Well, it's not. It's not. I was trying to work out whether Will Smith... if Will Smith had punched Jessica Chastain instead of Chris Rock, whether that would have been a... You know, him expressing 400 years of frustration at white supremacy and whether she would have got told off. Back off topic.
Yeah. Alex says that Elon Musk has just been added to the board of directors for Twitter.
Oh, love it.
Excellent. Have you got a link to that? Yeah. I'm excited to share that we're appointing Elon Musk to our board. Through conversations with Elon in recent weeks, it's become clear to us that he would bring great value to our board. You mean he bought billions of your stock?
Yeah. And you're about to be told.
Yeah. But honestly, go in like an absolute tyrant, Elon. Make demands, leverage the buying power. If you disagree with me, I'm going to buy more and more and more.
I'd walk in and sack him straight away. Pag.
I don't think he's got the unilateral power to do that yet, but you know, you can keep purchasing.
Buy some more shares until you can.
Yeah, you're only 40% away.
Parag, it can barely get a sentence out without talking about inclusivity and diversity.
Yeah, it's insufferable.
Mm.
We've got a correction from Kieran here. Active versus passive investing is different from Elon's filing as a passive investment. Basically, all filing means is he is not currently seeking to gain control of or push change in the company. Also, passive investing is almost always more profitable than active. From a former and probably a bit rusty investment banking analyst. Well, I can only, I assume
take
that Investopedia, yeah, I'll take your word for it. I'm not an expert on that. But Riss says, is Elon Musk trying to make Twitter great again? He's already getting some of the scum to resign. No, that was a troll. How weird it'd be if Twitter went back to being the free speech platform it used to be a decade ago. Yeah, it would be mad, wouldn't it? But it would also be funny if he unbanned me, Trump, Romlin Tomlinson, you know, all of the other undesirables. Wouldn't it be great? I mean, it'd be havoc, wouldn't it?
I want Godfrey Elphick back.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I just want all of the people who are banned for being politically dissident back, just to see the just chaos on day one.
Well, it would send such an important message out to the world, which is that we are the platform of free speech.
Yep.
And you would find that, I can't see it happening though, because I think Twitter is the tool by which the narrative is delivered.
Absolutely.
And everybody says, Twitter, only about 2% of people are on Twitter. And I'm like, it's a lot.
2% of people, meaning world leaders,
yeah,
activists, journalists, you know, all of the talking heads, you know, they're all there getting influenced by Twitter. So it is absolutely right. So we've got some questions for you. So George says, glad to see Mr. Fox on here. He's been one of the very few people who opposed lockdowns from the start. And for what it counts, he got my vote in the London election.
Thanks,
what
George.
Made you question the COVID narrative in the beginning?
What made me question it was the fact that someone said 500,000 people are going to die. And I thought, where did that number come from? How do you know?
This would be, what's his face?
Niall Ferguson.
That's right.
And so I thought, no, that's ridiculous. It's far too early to know that. And you don't know, we don't know enough about this bug. And then as the data started to unfold, I thought, no, this isn't right. This is a really bad flu. So
I mean, you could see that when you do. You remember the curve went up, and then in the summer it just died.
But I would have also just like, if you're scared, stay at home.
Oh yeah,
you don't have to go out and infect yourself. We have a natural thing as human beings, don't we, where we can spot ill people and we sort of avoid them.
Yeah, but it was obviously a seasonal flu. Like you could see it in the summer where it just absolutely flatlined for the entire summer, and then in the winter, people's vitamin D levels have gone down or whatever. And it starts going,
I'm also just fundamentally never lock anybody down, even if it was Ebola.
Yeah.
It's
your choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's your life, your choice. Bilbo says, hi, Lawrence. Really liking the work you and Reclaim are doing. I was wondering, what are you and your party's position on our laws around self-defense on gun control? Also, if you run a candidate in the upcoming West Yorkshire elections, they have my vote.
Ah, lovely. So self-defense and gun control in the UK.
Yeah.
My view on self-defense is that you should only defend yourself when you're under direct attack or threat of attack from somebody else, or someone you love is under. I don't believe that guns are the solution in the UK, because I just think traditionally they've not been the way that we've done things. I think reintroducing a set of violent, guns back into the UK would be a bad idea, because I'd want to use them. Half the time.
I
got burgled twice.
Yeah, really?
And within 2 weeks, I got burgled twice. And if I'd had two pistols, those guys would not have been arrested, taken off and not charged and not gone through to the Crown Prosecution.
This is making an argument for allowing us to have guns.
I know.
As far as I'm concerned.
Well, I know, but I don't want to kill anyone.
No, but you also don't know what these lunatics who are breaking into your house are doing.
Well, I fought them, actually. I fought them with a decommissioned shotgun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I did, and then the police very nearly arrested me because it was a concealed weapon, even though it's a lampstand decommissioned thing.
Right.
I got both of their faces on CCTV because I'd been burgled 3 or 4 days before, and there wasn't enough evidence to convict, even though they're seen walking out with my children's iPad Christmas presents.
Well, I'm with Bilbo.
Actually, I'm back to sod that Second Amendment. Yeah. Let's go first and second.
But I know what you mean, though, because I agree that I don't want an armed police force just wandering around like in America. I understand that that seems to be the main sort of concern. You know, it's undesirable.
Yeah.
But also, if someone's breaking into my house, come on. Anyway, Charlie says, great podcast, great guest. Lawrence is the posh version of Carl.
I think Carl sounds very posh indeed.
No, not at all. Drew says, Mr. Fox, I too thought my fellow Americans had more backbone than simply bend over backwards to the state and the media. Boy, was I wrong. give me a lot of perspective on the complacency of the West.
Yes. The West is the West needs reviving pretty soon. It's not good life support at the moment.
It's tragic, isn't it? That armor guy says, Lawrence, I'd like to help out with reclaim in some meaningful way. How can I best get involved? I think there's a huge amount of untapped talent amongst your supporters. Also, I sense you've been on the same Jordan Peterson journey as so many have. Is that right?
Starting with how to get involved with reclaim, you can... I have to make a confession here. I had to Google when I started up this political party how to start a political party. I had to Google it.
Yeah.
So we got this mailing list put together, and it all went a bit wrong. The person I hired. So you can email us at I think it's media@thereclaimparty.co.uk and say that you saw me on the podcast and that you would like to offer yourself to help, which we love. We've got a great, wonderful team. What was the second question?
Have you been on the same sort of Jordan Peterson journey that so many have?
Well, I was raised a Christian, you see. So I think the Jordan Peterson journey, my dad actually spotted Jordan Peterson pretty early compared to everybody else. And I thought, yeah, he's talks a lot of sense. I think, yeah, I have. But I noticed it in show business. For me, it's show business did it for me. I didn't really need Jordan Peterson to tell me what was going wrong when I'm sat having, with an actress of colour complaining about how terribly structurally racist Britain is on $25,000 a week.
Yeah.
I just got a bit bored.
If only we could all experience a bit of racism like that, eh?
Well, a bit of black privilege Will Smith's case.
Someone wants to be racist towards me and give me $25,000 a week, I'll take it. Anyway, Justin says, it's good to see Lawrence on, and he's right about the Blitz spirit being few and far between nowadays. Aside from voting for his party, does he have any way for interested people to help? Oh, we've just answered that. So
we're about to launch. Here you go. Actually, yeah. We're about to launch a legal project. So where we will be attacking institutions, woke institutions, and so you can probably help by donating a few quid to the legal case.
And so, what's that called? The Good Law Project?
Bad Law Project.
Bad Law Project.
Jolyon Morms is called the Good Law Project. We're going to call it the Bad Law Project, but I shouldn't really have told anyone because they're planning a whole launch. So, sorry, guys.
Okay, well, keep an eye out. And finally, just before we go, where can people find you?
I'm LozaFox on Twitter, and I think I'm the same on Getter. I think I'm on Facebook. I don't often look on Facebook, but the party, political party at the Reclaim Party is on Facebook. I think I'm Loza Fox on Instagram. I think the Reclaim Party. Just if you type in the Reclaim Party or Loza Fox, any of these places, you'll turn up.
Right. So with that, thanks everyone for watching, and we will be back same time tomorrow. Take it easy, everyone.